You got to get passionate about this thing. If the cross doesn't move you, nothing will move you.
I'm offering you something that's greater than silver and gold. I'm offering you something that's greater than an increase in your pay on your job. I'm offering you a...
There's no shortcuts to the glory.
We've got to get past week-to-week living. We've got to multiply our prayer life. We've got to multiply our effort.
And we are willing to give. God will always give it back to us in good measure, that is pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Hey, thanks for checking out our Christian Life Church podcast. You will be hearing from one of our pastors or guest speakers, either at our Frankfort or Lebanon campus. Prepare your hearts and your minds to receive a word from God. Thanks for listening. Enjoy and receive this message.
Guests that are in the house tonight, God bless you. Thank you for being here on this Sunday evening. Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read about seven verses out of Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. By the help of the Lord this evening, I just want to take your attention for a little while and speak my heart to you in this Christmas season. I know next week is Christmas celebration. I'm going to speak to you next week. This may be the only opportunity I have to speak a full message in this Christmas season. By the help of the Lord tonight, I just want to say, make room for Jesus. Make room. I know you're busy, but make room for Jesus. Lord, help us tonight to speak what you've laid on my heart, and let this congregation receive your word tonight. Let the anointing of the Lord flow, the inspiration of your spirit flow to your servant tonight, and let the ears of the people receive and the heart of the people receive what you want to say in this hour. We honor you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Turn to about three people around you and just tell them, be sure to make room for Jesus. Make room for Jesus. You can be seated tonight. The Bible is full of amazing stories. Open the book and you find all sorts of stories, all with amazing response. But none of these stories reach the pinnacle of the story of the birth of Jesus. The decree went out for all the people to be taxed. So all of the people were required to leave their homes and go to their ancestral city in order to pay taxes. No one could escape the taxation. A different tax system in which we know today, it couldn't be mailed in. One was required to travel whatever distance to go in and set before the tax collectors, which in their own way and methodical system in which they had to find out where they lived and what they owned and what their personal values were, what they were able to pay, and then tax them or punish them. If they could not pay taxes or if they did not come before the magistrates, then the enforcers were sent out not only to take what they owned, but also to take them. Because Joseph was of the lineage of David, he returned to Bethlehem, the city of David. There he was to meet the tax collectors and pay his dues. Their minds were not on the fulfillment of prophecies. They were there to pay taxes. They weren't thinking that the prophet Isaiah had prophesied of a coming Messiah. Without a doubt, there was news of what was transpiring around the life of Joseph and Mary and those who knew them. But the people were not thinking about prophecies. They were there to pay taxes, and anything, the feast, the tax days, whatever it was that brought them back into their ancestral cities was normally a time for them to see family and fellowship and connect with one another. Travel in those days was much slower than today, and distances which seem so far when you read Scripture may not be nearly as far. There was only a few days' journey for them to travel back into Bethlehem. Had they have thought about the prophecies and the prophesied birth of the coming Messiah, perhaps they would have made room for his arrival. Perhaps they would have been expecting him to arrive. Maybe they would have made room in the inn, but the multitudes had filled the guest rooms, leaving no room for Jesus in the busyness of the taxation season. Joseph left with no other option but to put his expectant wife to rest in a stable. For she was great with child, and the time to deliver was close. Without a doubt, they understood this as they traveled, but without option to travel, they were required to travel. And when they got there, they didn't have the cool systems we have today, the apps to book a room, the ability to call ahead. They had to travel, and they arrive. It wasn't the masses that ran to him upon his birth. It was just a select few that paid enough attention to notice that something was different about the arrival of Jesus. The wise men who watched the skies noticed there's something different. There is a star. It's out of place. It normally would not be there. They noticed. They went to find out what it was about. They knew there was something supernatural about it. As you read and celebrate the Christmas season, we read all about the miracles of the birth, everything from the star in the east to the incredible picturesque stories in which we see the manger in Bethlehem. The animals, the oxen, the lambs, we sing about it. We celebrate it. Next week we will in grand fashion. But tonight I want to capture your mind for a moment to travel with me to Bethlehem and see what was transpiring in the city streets at that moment. Nobody was expecting him to come. It was busy. It was a busy season. It was a season of travel. It was a costly season. Well, that sounds like Christmas. And yet his arrival, which surprised all of those there, and they did not make room for him in the inn, in the middle of all that was going on. Can I take a moment and just speak to the church and say to you tonight, in the clutter-filled world of chaos that this season seems to bring, does any one of us notice the often missing element of this season? We're not missing in celebrations. We're not missing in decorations. The market-driven practice of buying gifts is prevalent everywhere. There's no shortage on dinners, on gatherings, on family tradition, on celebration. But the missing part of Christmas is the main object of what Christmas is all about. Literally, for decades, they have been trying to remove Christ out of Christmas. But I come tonight to remind the church, I hope you celebrate, after all that we have been through the last little while, with the separation, all of the nervousness, the social distancing, I hope you find your family and you can travel and be where they are and you can hug them and sit around the table. I hope you have the finances to lavish them with expensive gifts. I hope you can have wonderful dinners and you have beautiful decorations in your home. I always love this time of the year. My wife decorates our home so beautifully. The trees, the lights. It's never dark in our home, and I hate the dark. Even turn out the lights, and we have enough trees in our home to literally light the entire house. I love it. This season is wonderful. But in the middle of the business and the spending and the celebrations and the meals and the decorations and everything that you do, my challenge to this church tonight is to pause right where you are before you start putting expensive things on credit cards that you can't afford in order to be able to give a gift. I want you to stop where you are and ask yourself the question, am I making room today for Jesus? In every part of my life during this season, am I making room for Jesus? I know some people are not expecting him to show up in the middle of this Christmas season, but in every service we have, in the program next week, in the service this Sunday night, in everything we do, we must make room for Jesus. This may seem oversimplified to some of you. This is about as deep as I'm going to get in this message tonight. But I hope that you apply this in your life when you're walking through the holiday song and the holiday songs are playing as you're driving to work, walking through one of the stores that you're shopping at, whatever you're doing. I want you to do it, enjoy it, celebrate it, have all the fun, have all the celebrations you want. But make sure that you put Jesus right in the center of everything you do. Doesn't matter what you do in your home, you do it the way that you do it. But as for me and my house, I want us to make Jesus more at the center focal point of everything we do. I want him to be at the center. I want to make room for Jesus at the dinner table, room for Jesus at the Christmas celebration. I want there to be room for Jesus in every corner and every aspect of my life. From the time he was a baby, he was always trying to reveal who he was. People have always been trying to move Jesus out of the picture, make him unimportant, not identify as who he was. He came to his own, and the Bible said that his own received him not. Oftentimes, I wonder how many of us that have been born again of the water and of the Spirit fail to make time every day for Jesus. We don't read the letters that he left for us. We don't read the words that he sends to us. We don't heed the messages that come to us. We don't even sing the songs about Jesus anymore like we used to. We need to get back to the basics and understand that every area of our lives needs to have a center focal point that is centered around Jesus. The world has continually tried to not identify who Jesus is. There's always been an issue with him from the time he was a baby. He was always trying to reveal who he was and why he had come. Why is Jesus so important, some may ask? Why would you take a Sunday night just to remind us to keep Jesus at the center of the season? Here's why. Because Jesus continually tried to explain who he was to those when he arrived. They struggled to comprehend that God could become a man. In the book of John, the first 10 chapters gives us glimpses into the deity of Christ. In the first chapter of John, he begins with, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." In John chapter 2, he talks about a temple, but they didn't know that he wasn't really talking about a temple at all. He was talking about himself. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus declares, "You must be born again." And he goes on when he begins to declare to Nicodemus being born again of the water and of the Spirit, he was really trying to share with Nicodemus who he was. In John chapter 4, he talked about water at the well with a woman, but he said, "If you knew who I was and you would ask a drink of me, I would give you living water." He wasn't talking about water at all. He was talking about himself. All through the book of John, he's trying to explain who he was. In John chapter 10, he says, "How long?" The disciples ask him, "Master, how long are you going to be with us and not tell us who you are? Tell us plainly who you are." And Jesus looks at them and said, "I and my Father are one." They pick up stones and begin to stone him. Listen, many of us today know him. We have received the revelation of Jesus Christ, but we unintentionally deny that he has the power to reign over whatever you are struggling with. Listen, I'm coming tonight right where some of us are. It does not matter what you are going through. Make room for Jesus. It doesn't matter if you are sick and afflicted tonight. Make room. We make room for doctor's appointments. We make room for everything else. You need to make room for Jesus. You need to open your life a little bit and say, "I'm making room for Jesus. I got a family problem. I can discuss it all night long." But do you have time to take it to God in prayer? Make room for Jesus. Some of the most encouraging words ever spoken were those foretelling the coming of Jesus Christ. "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. His name will be Emmanuel," being interpreted, "God with us." Look at your neighbor and say, "That's me and you." God with us. That means he is with us. You ever had somebody with you and it just, or you ever been with somebody, maybe you're with a group and you just always feel like, "I'm here," but they don't even know I'm here. Sometimes you get in a group of three and you feel like the odd man out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They're just carrying on conversations. They're just making plans. They're talking about where we're going to eat. And you're sitting back here going, hey, how about me? Am I in the room? Am I invisible? Do you not understand that I'm here too? I have an opinion. I have taste buds. I know restaurants. Look at me. I know food. You know, I wonder how often in our clutter-filled life and clutter-filled world that the Lord, who is with us always, always there, is sitting on the sideline going, "Hey, have you considered me? I've got time to go to the medicine cabinet, but I don't have time to pray. I've got time to complain, but I don't have time to talk with him. Oh, come on, somebody. We need to make a little space for him in our life. I'm reminding this church tonight to get back to the basics of putting Jesus in the center of everything you do, because he has all power. If I could persuade this congregation tonight that God truly has all power to do anything, miracles could actually happen in this room tonight. But somebody has got to recognize he can do anything. I know he can do anything. He can preside. He can preside over the dead man in the Bible. He can preside over the daily routine of my life in the middle of hustle and bustle and running and going. I need to put Jesus at the center of it all. Just before his ascension, Jesus Christ declared in Matthew 28, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." One of the great truths of Scripture is that God has unlimited power. When the disciples asked Jesus about a statement that he made about the rich being saved, Jesus simply said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." You know what he said? He said it'd be easier. It would be easier for a man. He talks about the rich man being saved. He said it'd be easier for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle. Maybe it was a little different scenario than what some of us view when we think about this. He was talking about it being, but then he goes on, he doesn't say it's impossible. With man, it is impossible, but with God. Listen, if you'll start making room for him, you're going to start seeing possibilities open in your life. Oh, some of us get so frustrated. You get frustrated on your job, frustrated with things you're going through, frustrated, but just make a little room for Jesus. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've been in situations I remember vividly. Driving down the road one time with my wife and an accident occurred. There was no possible way that any NASCAR driver would be able to drive through what we drove through. It doesn't make me good. It means that in the middle of a situation that we didn't even know what to do, we just began to call on the name of Jesus. And all we could say was, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And while two semis collided in front of us, opened up and we went between them, as they were coming back together, one of them miraculously turned sideways and we went right out the other side. As they came back together, collided again, one went off of an overpass, one overturned, and we were out the other side unscathed. It would have been impossible, but Jesus was in the car with me. I'm glad we had room for Jesus in the car. My family has walked through some dark days, but I wanted to make room for Jesus. It doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. You need to make sure Jesus is with me. Jesus is with me. Jesus is with me. You need to say it till you believe it tonight. Wherever I go, I got room for Jesus. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." Just make room for him. Oh, give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. We notice the same type of statement made in Genesis 18. God is revealing to Abraham that he will be a father at an old age of 100. Sarah now at the age of 90 laughs about what God says. But God asked them the rhetorical question, "Is anything too difficult for the Lord?" The assumption is that you understand that nothing is too difficult for God. In fact, God waited, it appears, so that he could make his point very clear to Abraham. Why did God wait until Abraham was an old man? He could have done this when Abraham was a young man. Why? Because God wanted Abraham to trust him until the end. He was a man of faith that would take his son, knowing God would provide a sacrifice. But now, in his old age, would God give Abraham a son? Our God is the God of impossibilities. These type of statements about the unlimited power of God are made all throughout the Scripture, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In Psalm Psalm 135, verse 6, it tells us that God does what he pleases in the heavens and in the earth and in the seas and in the deeps. Isaiah 43:13 says God acts and nobody can reverse it. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 35, it says that God does what he wills. All of these point us to a God that is the source of unlimited power. In fact, the Bible declares this truth to us and tells us that God alone is all-powerful. My point to you this evening is that in the middle of whatever you are going through, make room for Jesus. Don't relegate him to the barn out back. Don't put him on a back burner, a back shelf, a last resort. Bring him right into the middle of your chaos, into the middle of your mess, into the middle of your dilemma, and declare him Lord over everything. Because if you will make him Lord over it, he will reign over it. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. Can I tell you that you are the only one that can tie God's hands? He said he would work, but you and I are going to have to allow him. We're going to have to let him. The Holy Ghost will work, but we have to allow it to work in us. If we reject him, he's not going to force himself. He's not going to come in and say, hey, I'm just going to take over your life. You and I have to make room and say, hold on, family. Hold on, kids. Hold on. We got to make room for Jesus. I know it seems like we can't even make the payment, but just stop for a minute. We're going to go to God in prayer, because David said, I once was young, but now I'm old. It would have been one thing if he was a young man saying it, but he said, I once was young and now I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I come tonight to tell you God is faithful. He will rule over what you allow him to. In your home, make room for Jesus. On your job, make room for Jesus. In your ministry, don't get so lifted up you believe you can do it by yourself. Make room for Jesus. Oh, give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on, he's worthy of our worship and our praise. We're honoring him and letting him know, God, you reign, you rule. You're first in my life. We can see God's power in so many ways. First, we can see his power to create. Man's ability to create is limited to work with the elements that God has already created. You ever think about that? When you think that you're a genius and you're cool and you're smart and you're creative and you can make all of these things, everything you work with, God has already made and given you the base elements. He also put breath in you and allowed you the ability to be able to think and do. Everything you do is subject to him. God is all powerful. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26 says, lift up your eyes and look into the heavens. Who created all of these? Who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name because of his great power and might and strength, and not one of them is missing. Let me break this down for you. We were able to go down to NASA here just a few weeks ago. My wife and I got a phone call from Brother Danny and Sister Cheryl, and they were with their family in Orlando, and they called and said, we're in a great big 5-bedroom house and we want you guys to come down. And of course I'm busy and I've got things going, and my wife came to me and said, hey, they really want us to come. And I said, well, you know, we're busy, we have things going. And Brother Danny called and he said, if I told you that I have a plane ticket ready for you, would you come? I said, well, you know, I we're just busy, it isn't about that, I don't want to, you know, I just. And he said, oh, come on, you need to come. And so finally he said, I don't only have your plane ticket ready for you, I've got your rental car ready for you. I want you to fly down here. We want you to come enjoy a couple of days and get away. And I said, okay. Well, we had no excuse. Everything was paid for. We just went down and we enjoyed 2 days, and we were able to go to NASA. And we went down and walked through NASA and was looking at everything and thinking about it. And I began to think about this verse that I just read into your hearing. And they start talking about all the things that NASA understands. And there's galaxies, and they have names for galaxies, and they have stars, and they have names for stars, and then they start talking about thousands and tens and thousands and hundreds of thousands and billions of stars, in which they don't even have a name for. Oh, but I come tonight to tell you, Isaiah said he put every one of them in place, and he called every one of them by name, and they all responded just as the Lord said they were to respond. They are right where they need to be. If you think that God, who named every one of the stars, and we're still chasing, trying to catch up with God and find a name for him, doesn't know where you are, doesn't know what you're going through. When he spoke, I'm not going to leave you in your dilemma. I'm not going to leave you while you're going through it. I'm right there with you. The doctor can't name it, but I'm there. Just make room for him. Oh, come on, give God praise in this house. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that God upholds all things by the power of his word. Watch. He upholds all things by the power of his word. A few weeks ago, I kind of talked about it, preached about it a little bit. A meteor that came by, got real close to Earth, scared everybody half to death. They found it, saw it, realized it had happened a day and a half after it already happened. It had already come by, left us a day and a half later. They're like, oh, by the way, we had a meteor come by so close. If it would have hit us, it'd have killed all of us. We wouldn't even have known it. Day and a half later, we'd have woke up, realized we were dead. It had already happened. Because science is always trying to keep up with him. But the beautiful thing is the writer said, God's got it all. He upholds it all in his hand. We used to sing, God's got it all in his hand. Whatever the problem, it's all in his hand. Whatever the situation, it's all in his hand. Wherever you are in life, you're right in the palm of his hand. Here's what he said. He said, when you're in the palm of my hand, no man can get you out. Here's what one writer said, I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor power nor principality, nor things present nor things to come, nor any other. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm telling you, God is saying, I rule over everything that you'll allow me to rule over, and there's nothing going to take you out. There's no meteor going to take the world out until God says it's time to call my church home. It's time to do what God said do. Somebody in this room needs to make up their mind tonight. I'm making room for him right where I am. I'm allowing him to rule and reign and work in my life. It won't be too much longer. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think. I raised 3 sons, all with different forms of imagination. What one couldn't think of, you could answer the rest of it for me. The other one could. The Bible said that God, no matter how wild of an imagination that anything that you could think up, God is able to surpass it, to go above it, and to have an immeasurable supply of it above whatever you were able to ask or think. That means God's able to do more than you can even imagine. I'm trying to persuade somebody tonight to have faith just to move over a little bit and say, you know what? It's time for me to step aside and let God step in, because I have had him blocked out with all of my faith, with all of my faithlessness, with my fear, with my worry, with my concerns. I've tried to make it on my own. I've tried to figure it out on my own. But God is saying, if you'll just move over and let me step in. See, you ever see the bumper sticker that says, God is my co-pilot? I don't want him to be my co-pilot. I'll get myself in a lot of messes. I want God to be the pilot. Let me just jump in and ride along, because when you'll make room for him, he will preside over everything in your life. We see the redemptive work of his power to overcome the world, to overcome death itself. This is because God has power over death, hell, and the grave. God told Abraham that he is God Almighty. This is the term, the El Shaddai. This means that God possesses something that no one else possesses. No creature can be equal to him. He is all powerful. He is, and because he is all powerful, it means that he has no equal. He is above every single power that exists in the universe or in the spirit world. That would be a good thing to remember in a world that is obsessed with demons and witches and warlocks and vampires. I don't worry about them, because my God has the power over every force of hell, over everything that comes against you, over every sickness. Somebody said this is a spiritual attack. Don't be afraid of it, because it's a spiritual attack. God has power over it. God has power over it. We need to understand that the throne of God is not a two-seater kind of throne. God simply is God all by himself. He can run the universe without any second person in the Trinity, third person in the Trinity. He is God all by himself. He is God and God alone. He said, I am God and there is none beside me. And if you and I will make room for him, he will come in and rule over our lives. In Matthew chapter 28, we see Jesus tell his disciples, all power, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. We might be tempted to skip that to get what we call the Great Commission. But this little statement is so very important. The word authority is the Greek word, comes from the Greek word, which says the power and will to act. Listen. Sometimes we say, well, it must not be God's will. Maybe we're missing the root and the core and the meaning. Because when he declares that I have all power is given unto me on heaven, in heaven and earth, he is saying, I have the power and the will to do whatever I want to do. And then he turns around in his word and declares, anything you ask in my name, believing. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. If you'll understand, he left his word to us to have faith, to believe, and to make room for him in everything. And he said, if you'll do that, I have the power to rule over it and control it. Not only does he have the power to act, but he has the will to act and the ability to perform whatever it is that he declares. I want you to understand that there's no prayer too hard for God to answer. There's no problem too difficult for him to solve. There's no need too great for him to supply. There is no passion too strong for him to subdue. There is no temptation too great for him to deliver us from. His power is greater than everything. His purpose will be achieved. The victory is in God's hands. All we have to do is make room for him. Step aside and let him go. My wife starts feeling a little better. I've been the king of our palace for the last 18 months. She's been sick. I've learned to wash clothes, wash dishes, buy groceries, big feats for me. Things that I never did before. She's starting to feel a little better. I'm in the kitchen. She comes in, starts getting in my way. She goes down in the laundry. She messes up my system. I start telling her, would you mind? You're in my way. And she looks at me and said, you better understand who the queen of this palace is. Because I was queen before you were king. And I'm better. And if you'll get out of the way and go in there and do something that you need to do, I got this kitchen. I can take care of things in here. You go on. And I wonder how often God wants to just look at us and say, why in the world are you fighting the battles that you're fighting? Get out of my way and allow me to work. I am God and there is none beside me. I don't need your help. I don't need your direction. I don't need you telling me what to do. I am God. Just make room for him. Come on, somebody, be encouraged tonight to know God is with you. He hasn't forsaken you. He hasn't walked away from you. He is right there. He's as close as the mention of his name. Just make room. He's God and God all by himself. I'm closing tonight. I want you to know today that if you're facing impossible situations, you can stand with me. If you're facing impossible situations in your life and you can't seem to find your way out, you go forward. The writer said he's not there. Go backwards. I don't find him there. I look to the left and I don't see him, and look to the right and I don't perceive him, and there's no way out. I want to tell you that if you'll just make room for him, he will show up just in the nick of time. Just because you don't see him doesn't mean he's not working. See, we sing these songs, but I want you to get it in your spirit. Choir was singing a song tonight. They were singing that song. My wife said, she stepped over to me. She said, this was the first song God gave me when I received the diagnosis a year and a half ago. She said, this was the first song that the Lord gave me. He told me I'm not going to be alone through this. She had no idea what I was preaching tonight. We sing songs sometimes and we just become just another song. But I'm telling you tonight that even when you don't even recognize and know that he's working, he's right there working. In the middle of your midnight hour when you think you're all alone, if you'd look around, he's right there. And if you would acknowledge him, he will take the first chair in the middle of it and he will rule over it. God's able to make a way where there seems to be no way. He's able to bring light in the middle of your darkness. When I look back over my life, I recognize the things that God has done over and over and over again. In sickness, he's healed me. When I'm struggling with financial problems, he's been a provider to me. In the storms of life, he's been the shelter. He's protected me from myself. In loneliness, he's been a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And the only times that I've ever really suffered in life is when I tried to do it all by myself. In this Christmas season, they say there's more suicides, more depression, more people seeing doctors because of depression and all of these things. It shouldn't be. The reason is because they've moved Christ out of the center of this season. They feel like they can't keep up with others. Their gifts can't be as big as others. Their celebrations are not as attended as others. Let's stop it all. Let's get back to the basics. Is Jesus in the center of it? Because if you'll make him Lord of all, he will rule over everything in your life. I'm going to open these altars tonight and give you an opportunity if you want to just step from where you are to the front of this room. It's just a sign of a commitment to the Lord and say, I'm making some room in my life. I've let my prayer life slip. I've let my dedication to Bible reading slip. I've let some things in my life slip because I just feel like I just can't fit it in. I just don't have time. I just don't have schedule. You need to make room for him. And as we're moving toward the beginning of this next year, I want you to already begin thinking about it now. Don't wait until January 1 to make a New Year's resolution. Why don't you make it right now? I'm going to make prayer a priority. I'm going to make Bible reading a priority. I'm going to be in the center of everything God is doing. I'm going to make him Lord of my life, Lord of my home, in the middle of everything. Come on, would you make room for him tonight? If somehow you've muscled him out of your life, why don't you make room for him? Why don't you come tonight and make that commitment to him and say, God, I'm coming to make room for you. I'm making that commitment tonight, Lord. I'll make room for you. Come on, keep Jesus. Make room for him tonight. Make him the center of it all. Come on, make it more than a song. Make it a commitment to the Lord.